All right, you guys, what's up? We're kind of a late start, but that's okay. We're continuing our study on spiritual gifts. And so we got John and we got Elizabeth here, but she doesn't want to be on camera. So feel free to, you know, ask questions on the stream. And we'll go ahead. Let me make sure this is streaming on Telegram. I was trying to make you an admin so you can do it, but then something was going funky.
Would it be on Ecclesia channel or?
It would be on the channel, yeah. So.
I've never watched a TG live stream.
It's the same thing. All right. It's gonna start.
Okay. Oh, I see it.
Yeah, it takes a little bit, but okay, cool.
Or it prompted me to join anyway.
Nice. All right, so we're gonna. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it's good. It's on.
We're gonna study the gift of tongues, and then we're gonna do an activation afterwards. So even if you've already spoken tongues or prayed in tongues, sang in tongues, we'll just do the activation, and maybe it'll spur more. Because it's an important gift to have, because it edifies you, right? So, like prophecies that edify someone else, this is to edify you. So it's like you need this to work out your spiritual muscles. And so the term here, I just want you to write down on top of here, glossolalia. So I know that's sometimes that's hard to spell. It is glossolalia. So that's the technical term if anyone asks you what it is. That's what it was known as for a long time. And basically, it's a spiritual practice of speaking in a different language. So this is the biggest confusion that we have with tongues is a lot of Christians don't realize there's two types of tongues, right? There's one speaking to man in a different language or speaking to God in a different language. So when they read the scriptures like we're going to do, they're going to say, oh, this is confusing. This doesn't make any sense. But if you know that context, and we'll prove it in the study that there are two different types of tongues, then you'll see why. You know, some services allow it, people sing in tongues and this and that, even though there's some verses that say, hey, you know, this isn't for public, this is private. So we're gonna dispel all the confusion, and then we'll do an activation, okay, at the end. So here we go. Let's pray first. So Father God, I just thank you that you gave us the gifts so that we can do your will on the earth. And Lord, help us when we don't know your will. Because a lot of our brethren, they say that. We don't know God's will, so whatever happens, happens. But we do know your will. Your will is for the church to storm the gates of hell. Your will for the church is to love the world. Your will for the church is to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And so we want to do that, and we want to be equipped for every single challenge that's in front of us so that we can fulfill the great commission of making disciples of all nations, including our own. And so we thank you for that, God, that every time you say that you're going to equip us or you're going to set us up, it's always to win. It's never to lose. And so we want to have that in our hearts, that every single thing that we do, every single thing that we learn is so that we can further the kingdom of heaven, and that it is your will to do that, and you're doing that out of love for the whole world. So we thank you for today, Holy Spirit. We pray that you would be the one to reveal the scriptures to us and really manifest in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, cool. So the first question there will go number one. So you guys, online. If you want this, go into our Telegram and I can send it to you. It's a real simple study. And it says there, what is meant by tongues in the New Testament? All right. So we broke it down so that you would know. If, let's see. Elizabeth, can you read that number one for us?
What is meant by tongues in the New Testament? Known foreign human language that is supernaturally spoken by a person who previously didn't learn it for the purpose of communicating the gospel to people who speak another language.
Okay. All right. So this one is a foreign human language. So if, like for us, we're speaking English, if we started speaking German, that would be a foreign human language, right? So the purpose of this is communicating the gospel to another person who speaks that language, right? Here are the two examples. So if we can look that up, Mark 16:17, and then Acts 2:1-11.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. Oh, no, I'm not. I spoke too soon. I'm on Matthew.
Okay.
No worries.
It should start with these signs.
I got it. Okay.
Okay.
Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. Mm-hmm. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Jesus himself talking to not only the 12, but there were 77 other disciples with him that wanted to learn from him. And so this, the big argument is this only happened to the 12. Mm-hmm. Problem is Paul did it too, but he didn't even know Jesus in the flesh. So, and he was operating in this too. And centuries after Jesus was resurrected, many of the Christians were operating in the gifts.
So he was speaking to more than the 12.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay. Yeah. So this applies to us all. And, you know, if it was just for the 12, he would have said, these signs will accompany my apostles. You know what I mean? Like, but he said, all those who believe in what? In him. So it pertains to us. And then the next verse is the experience of the believers in the day of Pentecost. So this was the first time that it went widespread. You know, when Jesus was teaching people, it was within the group that they were teaching. And so if somebody, do you have it, Elizabeth?
It's like Acts.
Yeah, Acts 2.
There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone had heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia?
Yeah.
Why are you making me do these?
Phrygia.
Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.
Okay. So those are the two examples that we have of God giving people. And it wasn't just the apostles. It wasn't just Peter. It was everybody in that room, about 120 people, right? He gave them the gift supernaturally because their mission was to share the gospel with people who didn't speak Greek or Hebrew. So they had to end up speaking other languages. So that was the day of Pentecost, which was last Sunday, by the way, which is great. And this was actually, people say this was the birth of the church, because that's when there was a couple thousand baptisms after Peter's sermon. Because everyone's like, whoa, what's happening? Like, how are these people speaking in our language? We know them, they can't. So it was a sign to them to go, wait, something supernatural is happening.
Aren't they from Galilee?
Right, yeah. Right. Look at these guys.
I read ahead a little bit, and it says some were like, oh, they're drunk.
They're drunk, yeah. It's only 9 in the morning, and they're drunk. So when you see videos of people at church, like, falling over and stuff, come on.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
See
you. Oh, cool.
Oh, you're the best. I forgot to bring food.
I forgot to. I was saying. It's okay. It's our first time here, so... Yes, it.
I'm just trying to block.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
All right.
Oh, you're the best. You're so sweet. Thank you.
We'll talk about more about it afterwards.
Do you want coffee?
Oh, you know, I got some. Thank you. Yeah. Take some water. That'll be good.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, so John was right when he said that the people in the place were saying, like, oh, aren't these Galileans? How do they know our language? How did they do that? Look at them, they're drunk. And so I was I was saying, like, if you go to YouTube, you'll watch all these videos making fun of people at church, like, falling down and stuff, and looks like they're acting crazy and speaking in tongues and stuff. That actually happened in the Bible. And so you can't judge that as not from God if it's in the Bible. You know what I mean? Now, before we move on, I'll tell you the first, my experience when I was in the same boat where I was like, oh, that's weird, that's not from God. I was at a church retreat, and people I knew wanted this, what we're talking about. And the funny thing is they didn't know anything about it. They just saw in the Bible. And we're like, we're going to ask God for this. Mm-hmm. And it just happened. And I was outside. I think I was about 16 or 17.
How many people?
Maybe like 30 people.
Wow.
And it looked like people were like dropping on the floor. And they were speaking in tongues. And it was so foreign to me. And I grew up in a church where it was worse than cessationism. It was, no, that does happen, but only from the devil. And so when I got so scared.
Yeah, from your background.
Yeah, I got so scared, and I'm like telling my parents, like, I don't want to ever go back to this place. And then I remembered my pastor at the time. He came from the same church that taught that. And he goes, you know what? We can't trust the teaching of man if it contradicts the word. And I was like, you're right. Like, we have to, even though it looks scary, we gotta trust God in this. So that was my
first. He was from the background of this comes from not God?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And he goes, I can't believe it if God's word says this. So I was like, that taught me that principle. Like,
so you know, he changed.
He did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so that was a good example for me, you know, for a leader.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
A lot of humility. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is real. Like, so what we're talking about is a foreign human language. For example, I did like a ministry in UC Davis, right? And long story short, there was a girl, and we're practicing the gifts. There was a girl that was practicing at our healing tent. Like, we called it something else, like encouragement, something, but we're praying for healing from everything. And this group of students come out, UC Davis, and they're like, hey, what are you guys doing here? And we prayed for them, and my friend, she was practicing, you know, and they heard her. And they go, oh, are you Portuguese? And she's like, no, I'm just practicing my spiritual gift. And they're like, what's that? And she's like, oh, I'm trying to pray in tongues, you know? I'm trying to talk to God in my own language, heavenly language. Well, it turns out it was a human language.
Oh,
and
it was Portuguese.
Yeah, the group was telling her, like, hey, you're talking about Jesus. You're talking about how he wants to save the world and do all these things. And so we got to talk to those students and say, she doesn't know Portuguese. And they're all, well, how did she say that? And so we showed. And they're like, oh, we never, you know, they have a Catholic background. And they're like, oh, we never even knew that. We never even know Jesus said, those who believe will cast out demons, speak in new tongues, and all that stuff. And so we got to minister to them, and we got to pray for them. One of them actually accepted the Lord in their hearts that day. So these sign gifts are meant for evangelism, too. And they're very effective because you can't explain it logically, right? So,
can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
Does it always work that way, where you don't know you're actually saying it? Or do some people, like, automatically go, oh, I know Italian, or know that?
For the most part, they don't.
They don't.
Yeah,
they don't know, like, when it's coming out, or, okay.
I mean, they know when it's coming out, because it's come about, they can feel it coming out, but they're like, what? They don't understand. You don't understand with your mind. But you might understand with your heart.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, sometimes you know you're speaking Portuguese and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And actually, sometimes you speak different tongues,
mm-hmm.
too, at different times.
Correct.
Like, it's a different language.
Yeah.
I've heard that, too, where someone, they spoke in the Spirit regularly, but they were in a foreign country each time.
Yeah.
And there's no way. And this person is, like, backwoods guy. Never schooled, and spoke in the spirit of that native language.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't Rosetta Stone.
Yeah.
Yes, correct, correct. So, yeah, super good. So let's go to 2A. So 2A says, an unknown foreign human language that is supernaturally spoken by a person who previously didn't learn it, so same as number one. For the purpose of prophesying or delivering God's specific message to a congregation. So the first one is just like a personal communication to somebody. And 2A is basically if you hear someone on the pulpit speaking in tongues. So because you'll get the argument like, you can't do that, that's public, you know, unless you have an interpreter, right?
Mm-hmm. That's
yes. So one of my teachers, he was asked to speak at a church one time, and God told him, are you going to speak in your prayer language? And he's like, thought we're not supposed to do that unless there's an interpreter, right?
Yeah.
You said in your word, right? And he's like, nah, you're going to do it. And so he did it. Nobody understood what he said. So he's like, I sinned, you know, maybe I didn't hear the Lord right. And then at the end, there was one lady in the back that said, hey, you spoke perfect Russian in my dialect. And you explained the gospel. I'm ready. Can we pray? I'm ready to receive Jesus. So he heard right. It was just for one person. And so, and I asked him, hey, was the pastor of the church in the congregation kind of mad? They were like, kind of, because they didn't know. For 30 minutes, they didn't know what I was saying. You know, like. So, but it was for one lady, and that,
boy, that keeps you humble, man.
Yeah.
Because you just cannot get a big head that way.
No, no way, no way. God will do that to you because He's the Lord. I can't tell. We can't tell Him what to do.
Yeah.
So sometimes He'll ask to do that. Here we go. And 2B says, unknown heavenly or spiritual language that is supernaturally spoken by God. By a person who previously didn't learn it or understand it for the purpose of prophesying or, wait, why is, oh yeah, heavenly or spiritual language is the difference there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 2A was a foreign human language. 2B is a heavenly or spiritual language that isn't any human language. So we're going to cover that in the next verse right here, because there's two types of tongues. There's human languages that come to you supernaturally, and then there's heavenly languages that come to you supernaturally.
I have a question.
Yes.
So if it's a heavenly language,
yes,
who's your interpreter?
That's the thing. Sometimes you don't know.
Uh-huh.
God provides it.
God provides it. Yeah. So I don't. I don't forbid people unless, you know, there's some kind of like fleshly motive or something like that. But if people,
they're selling books.
Well, yeah, oh, yeah, something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if someone wants to prophesy in tongues, right, we could either, you know, I want to make room for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I know God is, he's a father and we're children. And so he wants us to learn, and if we make mistakes, to him it's okay. You know, because we know as Christians, we're like, oh no, we messed up. Mm-hmm. We got to do better next time. He knows that. God knows that.
Yeah.
That's my fear.
Yeah. So, this is the instruction from Paul to the Corinthians, and this is the heavenly language. So there's two different ones. So whoever got 1 Corinthians 14.
I'm there.
All right, go for it.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, and it's 26 through 28?
Yes.
Okay. Sectioned off as orderly worship.
Yes.
What then shall we say? Oh, I'm reading from my NIV, by the way,
because
my other Bible is in my garage.
That's
orderly worship. What then shall we say, brothers, when you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two, or at the most three, should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret.
Okay, so that's where we get what we were talking about, right?
Yeah.
Orderly worship. So here's an example. Do you remember when we had church service at my parents' house?
Yes.
And it was JP that was leading worship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I felt in my heart during the prayer to pray in tongues. Now, here's the risk. I need an interpreter if it's not a human language, right, according to Paul.
I mixed the two stories, and I thought you were the one that did Russian.
No, it wasn't me. Yeah. It was my
But I remember you doing it, and,
yeah,
and JP,
mm-hmm,
yeah, with his worship. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So I'm trying to exercise my ability to hear God's voice. And he goes, I want you to pray in tongues. And I'm like, while I'm praying in here in the physical, in my mind, I'm talking to him. I'm like, yo, I don't have an interpreter, dude. Like, you're going to make me sin, because you said here.
Right? I know my crowd.
Yeah.
I don't have an interpreter.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know my crowd. No,
exactly.
Man, you do.
And God's like, you got to trust me. You got to trust me. And I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust you. So I started praying in tongues. And then I went back to English, finished the prayer, and I'm like, oh, God. And I know God's nature and character. He would not cause you to sin, right? Because he's good. He will not cause you to sin. So I'm like, Lord, you better do something. You know? And then all of a sudden, JP starts singing. He's like, yeah, the time is now or something. Time is now. And after he sang that, like, he repeats it.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, that when you were praying in tongues, that's what the word was, man. And I was like, oh, thank God I had an interpreter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I had to answer that question for people that didn't understand what was going on. So I said, my interpreter was JP. You can ask him yourself. And they were like, wow, that was a miracle. I'm like, yes, it still happens today.
Was it a heavenly language? Or
yes.
It was?
Because nobody else understood what I was saying in a human sense.
So he got, from your tongues, he got the time is now.
Yes.
I feel like it was clear to him?
Yes.
That that's what you're saying?
That's why he started singing it.
Yeah. He was
so,
just freestyling.
Yes.
Coming. Yeah.
And this is what church is supposed to be. Like, I'm not against, well, you know, here's the program. I'm not against that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know sometimes the Holy Spirit will mess up your program on purpose.
Yes,
for
stifling.
His purposes, right?
It could be stifling.
Yes. So, like our church, we have programs. This is what we're going to do. But if God comes in, I want to make room for God to mess it all up.
Amen.
Okay? I know some people don't like that, but...
I don't know if it's messing it all up. I think it's... I don't think it's messing
well,
it up.
Well, to us as humans.
Right. I hear
it looks messy.
Yeah. Where it's actually leaving room for the Spirit to move.
Correct. Right. Correct. Yes. So, all right. Let's move on to 3A. I know this is kind of... There's a lot of categories, but...
No, this is great.
It'll make sense once we...
Yeah, no, this is great. Thank you.
So, 3A is unknown foreign human language that is supernaturally spoken by a person who previously didn't learn it or understand it for the purpose of prophesying or delivering God's word to a specific message. Delivering God's specific message to a congregation. And then 3B is the same thing, but just the heavenly or spiritual language. So, one is like a church thing, and then this is like when they were evangelizing at Cornelius's household, right?
I have a question.
Yes.
So, the story you told earlier where a bunch of people started praying or speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Is that not, it says two, no more than three, right?
Yeah.
So, why does that happen, that a bunch of people...
Oh, well, because what ended up happening in the early church in Corinth, it was a lot of people... We're filled with the Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody was just going at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so if there's unbelievers...
So it's not that it doesn't happen. It's like, hey, let's have some order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that everybody has a chance to
share. A bunch of people can be filled with the Spirit, obviously, a revival of sorts. But let's keep it...
Yes.
Let's keep it organized. That's why this section's titled Orderly Worship.
Correct. Okay, correct. So there are times where I've been in services where everybody in the whole place, like... couple thousand people are praying in tongues.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's like the, you know, in Revelation, the sound of many waters. That's what I picture.
Yeah, it just sounds like
the
heavenlies are present. It's indescribable.
Yeah.
I don't have the words for it, but it's
right.
Beautiful.
Exactly. So what Paul's saying is someone comes to the front and delivers a message to the congregation. So that's different. But there are times where Holy Spirit just drops on every single person. And that's what we need. That's what we need in the church today. All right.
The shedding of old man.
Yes. All right. So if someone could read Acts 10, that's the experience of Cornelius in his house. And then Paul has more instructions to the Corinthians.
So Acts 10:44.
Acts 10:44 to 46.
While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God.
All right. So this was in an evangelistic sense, right? So one is a church service. Like, one is personal, one is a church service, and then this is, like, evangelism. So what I did was just show you that you can do this at almost any situation, okay? And the people of the circumcision were the Jews, right? Because they were astonished, like, why did God send the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles? Because they were the chosen people, right? Because they're like, wait, what's going on here?
Yeah.
All these, you know... Gentiles are now, well, were they chosen too? You know, like.
I'm not special anymore.
Yeah, yeah. But that's all right. Like, God humbles us, you know, and what's cool about this is that this shows you that it doesn't matter who you are. You can have this, right? So this is Cornelius, who was a pagan Roman. The Jews hated the Romans because they were persecuted by the Romans, you know? And I keep telling people we need the spiritual gifts because, you know, people, they're like, we're being persecuted as Christians in America. I'm like, we need this because this is what changed people that hated the Christians into Christians. You see what I'm saying? No amount of logic would have helped it. They needed the raw power of God. Mm-hmm. And so this gives me a lot of hope. All right, let's. I'm so thankful for Paul because he's a good teacher. Acts 10 and that Acts 19 1 through 7. Somebody get that.
Acts 19 1 through 7.
Yeah,
Paul is our favorite here. business like.
All right, so I got New American Standard.
Oh yeah, perfect.
So it happened that what is it 1 to 7? It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard whether this is a Holy Spirit." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John's baptism with baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying." There were in all about 12 men. All
right. So these guys were believers that the apostles never even met before. And so they were having this conversation. They're like, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So these guys didn't even know you could receive the Holy Spirit. So in contemporary like Christianity, American Christianity, all is taught is when you get saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. That's actually true.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the seal of your salvation. So when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and says, "Look, this person is the Lord's now, belongs to God." That is absolutely true. But they got to teach this too. Right? Because if they got baptized by water, John, that means they're saved. They believe Jesus Christ is Lord, so they get baptized. But they didn't know about the infilling of the Holy the infilling of the Holy Spirit is when you get saved. But the Holy Spirit coming upon you, right? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is different. There's two different things. And so when they go, we didn't even know about that. How do you do that? So Paul laid hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit, even though they had the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It gets kind of confusing. But as you can see, then they began speaking in tongues.
Right. They don't know what they don't know.
Right. Right. They don't know what they don't know. So if we read the scriptures carefully, you will notice there's two different things going on here. And for short, for us, we call this the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's water baptism, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's this. Mm-hmm. Now,
was it because John the Baptist just wasn't aware of this aspect of the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I'm sure he was aware.
That was maybe too much, and that he was focusing on the salvation of Christ?
I think John was doing his job, and then Jesus was telling people about being baptized with the Spirit, right? He told the people he was teaching, there's, you know, you got baptized with water, but he's come. Oh, you know what? It was John. Was it John? Shoot, now my brain. I think it was John that said, "I baptized you with water, but there is one who's coming who's going to baptize you with the Spirit and with fire."
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe that wasn't part of his ministry, but now that it's happening, maybe God was just waiting for the upper room. I don't know. Before it became public, but now that this is after that, and so now Paul's laying hands on people so that they would, and this is where we get the confusion. Like sometimes in Pentecostal denominations, they believe you ain't saved unless you speak in tongues.
Yeah.
So that's not true because these guys were saved already.
Right.
You see, they were saved because they got the baptism of John, which is baptism of water. So Paul's cool. You're part of us. Did you receive the Holy Spirit, though? And they're like, "What is that?" Oh, lay hands, boom. Right? So, that's what people need to know. Again, this they were already saved, so this wasn't really evangelistic, but they were out and about. They weren't in a church service. They were out and about. So, my point is, using tongues, whether it's human language that you didn't know, or heavenly language, you could do it personally, you could do it at church, you could do it while you're outside, evangelizing. Yeah, there's, you know, and I'm not going to say the church, but I remember I had a youth conference. When I was a youth pastor, I was doing a youth conference, and I didn't expect, like, 200 kids to come. Some came from, like, Simi Valley, or I don't know. That was all God, because we didn't even do marketing. I just said, hey, you know, I posted a stupid video on YouTube. I'm like, hey, we're going to do spiritual gifts, and we're going to pray for the sick, and we're going to worship. It's going to be cool, you know? And all these kids come from a big church, mega church, and because they were hungry, and they read it in their Bibles.
Yeah.
So they came and they go, hey, how come everyone was speaking in tongues? Aren't the only like the ministers or whatever? And I'm like, no, look, everybody can do it. And there's no place that's restricted.
Who was asking it? The kids were asking
The
that?
Kids, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So I told them. I'm like, tell your pastor, like, you can do it anywhere. Look, check it out.
Yeah.
And they're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
So... all right, 4A, unknown foreign human language that is supernaturally spoken by a person who previously didn't learn it or understand it for the purpose of verifying they've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, right? So this is another one saying, like, I'm saying in every situation, you know, you can do this, but this one is, how do you know if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit? You have this ability. Or prophecy. It works too. And then 4B is the same thing, but it's a heavenly or spiritual language. So we've read Acts 2, 1 through 4 already. It's when they thought people were drunk, right? They were speaking in tongues all over the place. This was out in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. You know, tongues, and then boom. If people are acting drunk, that means they're not walking straight. They're acting funny, you know. So that happens. Sometimes, you know, it hasn't happened at Ecclesia yet, per se. Maybe to people individually, but, like, not everybody at the same time. I'm praying for that day to happen, you know.
It will.
It will. I think it will.
Yeah, because you cultivate that, and that's your spirit. And, like, I resonate with it, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know... I've heard all the arguments, like, oh, that's not from God, oh, this is a fleshly thing, and I'm like, you gotta read Acts, like, it's here. So, we read the experience at Cornelius' household, too. So,
hey, I had a question for you.
Go ahead.
It's interesting, like, on 4A and 4B, right, both of them kind of comment on the fact that it's... verifying that they have been baptized by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Was there something contextually back then that somehow need to be proven or just
no.
kind of a...
Paul, we just read it, right? Paul was just like, hey, you guys, I know you're saved, you got baptized in water. Did you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit too?
Oh, and then...
So
the byproduct is you'll be speaking in tongues.
Yes.
If you did. Okay.
Because the context is the early church... They taught this as a regular practice because their form of evangelism was signs and wonders.
Mm, okay.
And so it doesn't mean if you don't speak in tongues, you can't prophesy or pray for the sick or heal the sick, cast out demons. But praying in tongues is like working out. So if you want to do like karate, but you're not working out, you can still do karate, but the guy that works out and does karate is better. You know what I mean? Right? So...
Watch my YouTube.
Yes, yes.
I'm not do karate.
Right, that's...
Like working out?
Yes. It edifies yourself. Whilst prophecy edifies someone else.
That's why, like, when it talks about... What's the scripture, right? Where it says, if you don't know what to pray for, the Spirit expresses for moans and groans that your spirit...
Correct.
Cannot express.
Correct. So, and then C on the next page is the experience of believers at Ephesus. That's the same verse that we read, Acts 19, where we're talking about the people that didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So this is just saying, if you really want to know if you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just go, oh, can I speak in tongues, right? It doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean you can't prophesy or cast out demons. It just means you're missing a piece to the thing. Like I said, if you want to do karate, you can do karate without working out. But if you work out and do karate, you'll be like, you'll be way better.
Yeah.
Right? So, here we go. How did the Holy Spirit use the ability to speak in tongues in the New Testament? All right. Here we go. One is a prayer language. So, praying in the Spirit, a new language that can be used by a believer at any time for praying and praising God. So that somebody get 1 Corinthians 14, 13 through 19, and then somebody else get Ephesians 6, 18.
I'll do Ephesians.
Okay.
The Corinthians.
All right, cool.
Okay. 13 through 19.
Yeah.
Therefore, let him who speaks any tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is not fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say?
Mm-hmm.
For you indeed give thanks as well, but the other is not edified. I think, my God, I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue.
Okay. So, other pastors have used this passage to tell me, see, you don't need it. And I'm like, no, that's not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, Paul is saying, look, he goes, hey, by the way, if you are praying in a tongue in public, like, as to relay a message, pray that there's someone to interpret, okay? Because back then there was a problem of people going to the church and they're all like, I don't even know what's going on here, right? So.
Well, because they were just rattling off
yes,
in tongues,
yes.
No interpretation?
Right.
Oh, okay.
So that's why Paul was saying this.
Oh, okay.
And then he goes on to say, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive or my mind is unfruitful. So when you're praying in tongues, you're not going to understand it with your intellect.
Yeah.
It's with your spirit. Because that's what it is. It's a spiritual gift, not an intellectual gift. Right? And then he goes, what is the outcome then? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. So, like at our church, we will pray in the spirit, but we'll also pray in English. You know? Like, you do both. I will sing in the spirit. Like, sometimes you'll hear me or Archie during worship will sing in the spirit too, you know, as well as the English words. So Paul's saying the same thing. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind also. For otherwise, if you bless God in the spirit only, how will the one who occupies the place of the outsider know to say amen at your giving thanks, since he does not understand what you're saying? Right, so he's saying, do both. He's saying, don't just pray in tongues, but pray with your mind too, so that if there's someone who's not part of the church comes in, he can understand when to say amen or when to say yes with you.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? He doesn't forbid it. He says, he's saying do both. And then he goes on to say, for you are giving thanks well enough. By the way, how important is it to bless God? That's actually our first job as Christians. Before we go blessing each other, our first job is to bless God. That's what worship is. And tongues is part of worship. So whenever I go to church, they're like, please don't pray in tongues during worship. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to do it under my breath. Because I don't want to disobey the word. Get mad at that. But it's here.
when you're leading the study, they don't want you to pray in the spirit?
No, like if I'm visiting a church and they have worship and I feel like, you know, Holy Spirit during worship,
right.
I start singing in tongues and then the usher goes, please don't pray. Don't.
Dude, really?
Oh, I've had that happen, yeah. I'm like, all right, whatever, dude.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
I saw a baptism on it, that Easter service I went to at the other church.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, what if someone felt the Spirit and prayed in tongues? How would that church handle it?
Right.
Would they like poo-poo it, you know, or DL, we'll talk about that later. Or would they use it as a testimony to the whole church?
That's probably
the former.
That is rare now.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like, look, the Spirit
is
here.
Right.
But people don't do that. I've had an experience where I went to a very good church, I thought. And then I was singing loudly in the Spirit. And they were nice, you know. And they're like, hey, can we talk to you in the back?
Yeah, right.
And they're like, oh, this is not, this. We believe in the gifts, but this is a showroom, not a mechanic bay. And I'm like, what are you talking about, dude?
Mechanic bay?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I know it edifies you, and, you know, and it's real, but this is a showroom, so we don't have the, you know, oil spill
it
on the ground. Yeah. And I'm like, that's not in the Bible, dog. Like, you know what I mean? So, but out of respect, I said, okay, I don't want to cause trouble, so I was there as a visitor. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
But I told him, I'm like, I don't see in the scripture, so maybe you guys should talk about that, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I think when it becomes undeniable when you're enveloped in it, right?
Yes.
You don't know, like, you can, like, I remember when I first met the Lord, like, this word love, it was just so ambiguous, right?
Uh-huh.
And until I experience it and I engage, and it enveloped me.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like, okay, come to my church.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you feel it.
Yes.
And we'll talk later.
We'll talk later, right?
Right, because then there's
some
people who do it in the wrong manifestation, the wrong spirit, so it has like a lens.
Correct.
Right? So that's
correct.
That's part of the problem.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
If your heart is pure and you're doing it to worship God,
yes,
the manifestation is completely different.
Correct. Absolutely right.
The spirit's
absolutely
different.
Right.
Everything about it is different.
Yes. I have also been on that other side where I've been in churches where they're forcing it.
Yeah, Pentecostals.
Yeah, and then, you know, that turns people off.
Right.
Like the worship leader from before, his wife is like us. She wanted to go to a spirit-filled church, but he had a bad experience at one where the pastor pushed him down.
Yeah.
Like people were falling down when they were laying on hands. And he was open to it. He just didn't want to make it happen.
That'll set you back.
Yeah.
That'll set your faith back.
And he said, oh, the pastor put his hand on my head. And I was like, that's cool. I liked it. I felt blessed, you know? And he goes, yeah, but he had too much pressure. So I was like, I don't want him pushing me down. I want God to do it. So he like kind of pushed back, and then the pastor like,
then he hit me with the judo throw.
Yeah, yeah.
It's whack-a-mole.
Yeah, yeah. I told him, like, sometimes I would put just pressure, but if it's not God, then I let go.
Yeah.
You know, so that has happened. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to force it, but we also don't want to forbid it.
You got to use the mic.
The My Pillow, yeah. that'll be so funny.
That'd be the catch.
If God uses the My Pillow in a revival, that would be so great. That would be so great.
I'm gonna hit you with the pillow. Everyone's gonna fall down.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
All right, let's go to Ephesians 6. Whoever's got that.
Oh, okay. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all the perseverance and petition for all the saints.
Gotcha. So are there times where you're supposed to not do that? Actually, it says at all times pray in the Spirit.
Mm.
That's why, you know, at that church that told me, hey, this is a showroom, not a mechanic bay, I'm like, yeah, but the word says pray at all times. In the Spirit, dog. Like, please, you know?
I know.
But, you know, we're human beings, and God knows we're children, so we're working it out. So I'm not blaming anyone.
It's not like they were respectful. Like, they weren't putting you down. They were...
No.
Yeah.
And I believe they believed in the gifts. I do. I do believe that. It's just...
the halfway point.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's so much here.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a lot.
And I'm going to watch this video again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do encourage, like, you know, for the sake of time, we have to do this, but go home and read the whole chapter, you know.
No, this is really helpful. Thanks for all the notes.
Yeah. All right. So number two, this is the gift of tongues. So this is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, is the ability to give a message or prophesy in another language when and where the Holy Spirit decides, which needs to be interpreted for the congregation. Right. So this is now like encapsulating what we just learned in the previous page. Just the two main categories. So somebody get 1 Corinthians 12, 10, and 30, and then 1 Corinthians 14, 26 to 28.
I'll get the first one.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Mm-hmm. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Mm-hmm. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues.
Yes.
All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. Okay. One body, many parts. Let me just keep going. 10 through 30, right?
Yeah.
One body, many parts. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, mm-hmm. and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Mm-hmm. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. Mm-hmm. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, mm-hmm. where would the sense of hearing be?
Right.
If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Mm-hmm. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, mm-hmm. but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are you all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work in miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do not all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is talking about how the church is a body connected to one another, and everything that we talk about, the gifts, that's what God uses to mend us together, and that it should be honored. The main part of this is the tongues that are said here are for ministering a message or a prophecy, right? So we need to, this is just saying the church actually needs this. You know what I mean? Like half of the American church don't believe the signs and gifts are available today, and yet Paul is teaching for a healthy church these things are needed.
The body is a church made up of many body parts.
Yes.
Each one has its own unique purpose.
Yes.
And use it, respect each one for what it is.
Yes, absolutely. So for us, we usually, a person has one or two main gifts, right? So let's say yours is prophecy. That's cool. Does that mean you don't ever speak in tongues, or you don't ever pray cast out
dabble.
A demon?
Yeah. You don't dabble.
No, that's not true at all. Yeah. That's not true at all. It's like, this is your main thing. This is the gift God gave you, and that's the one you're good at. But then when there's nobody else to cast out this demon, but you're there, that means it's you. It might not be your regular thing, but now it's you. You see what I'm saying? Like, as the body, we will compensate for each other whatever we lack. And that's why the body needs to grow, so that we get everyone's gifts. Everyone can contribute to the mission. So, all right, 1 Corinthians 14, who's got that one?
14, 26 to 28.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, let all these things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in tongues, it should be by two or three at the
mm-hmm.
at the most three. And each in turn, the one must interpret.
Yeah. So that's just, we read that before. That's just to reiterate that this part, what we're talking about, is the manifestation of tongues through a message or a prophecy. Okay. So put it simply, there's two, a prayer language and the gift of tongues. But they're all in the Bible, then they're all considered tongues. You know what I mean?
In 28, where it says, if there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet
keep
in the
quiet.
Church and speak to himself and God.
Yes.
Does that mean very quietly?
Yeah, to himself. It doesn't mean like you can't.
Under your breath.
Yeah, you can't have an audible sound. Like sometimes.
Okay.
Okay, so we had the story of me doing it on a microphone.
Right.
And I was taking a risk because I'm trying to hear from
right.
the Lord. And like providing the ram for, you know.
Yeah, the pistol.
For Abraham. I don't know. Who is it?
Yeah.
Isaac.
Abraham. Yeah.
God provided the lamb, which was JP, because he was the interpreter. Because
mm-hmm.
that's the same issue.
Yeah.
Like, if God asked Abraham, you got to bring your son up to be sacrificed, he's like, wait, this is sin. But he was trusting God. So I was trying to do the same thing. Less consequences, though, than
yeah.
that. But I was trying to do the same
saying
thing.
Saying something out loud.
Yeah.
Killing your son.
Yeah. I'll do start with this first.
Yeah.
So God pulled through, right? Now, if I were in church and I felt like, okay, maybe God's doing that again, but I wasn't sure, you know, like at that time I was praying in my head, like, God, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, you're going to do it. If I didn't hear like, yeah, you're going to do it, then I would just pray to myself and to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is. So either situation, it's teaching you to hear from God,
mm-hmm.
really. So, all right. Next one is, does God want all believers to be able to pray in the Spirit? This is the question I get asked the most.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it says, the Apostle Paul wanted all believers to pray in the Spirit, but he preferred they prophesy. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5.
I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification.
Actually, can you read that again? Let's just read 1 through 5. I should have put 1 through 5 there.
Start at the top, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification.
All right.
That's true.
Yes.
Because, like, the pink tulip in the snow.
Yes.
That's for the whole church.
Yes,
I share that story,
yeah.
And it's so powerful testimony.
Yeah.
That's for us as a church to take
yeah.
heart. And whereas if I speak in tongues, it's awesome for me.
That's for you.
It's for me.
Yes.
It's like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit. But
yes.
prophecy is like, look what God told us.
Yes.
You know,
correct.
Came to be.
Can I tell you that story? So, who gave it to you? Kitty?
Yeah.
All right. So I remember Kitty, she would prophesy.
I think she's watching. She tells.
Oh, hey, Kitty, I'm going to tell the story, so you have no choice. She went to the school of ministry. I was teaching it. And through the whole time, she didn't pray in tongues, even though we studied that everybody has that ability. Like Paul said, I want all of you to speak in tongues. But I would want more that you prophesy because of the evangelistic, ministerial aspect. But like I said, and we just read, tongues is to edify you so that you can do the other gifts. It's kind of like the gateway drug, like weed, when it comes to like all the hard drugs. Don't do drugs. I'm just using that as an example. Like, if you want the fast track to the stuff, you want to pray in tongues. That's what Paul's saying, right? So here's a story. She didn't pray in tongues. She didn't do this. She was prophesying. She was doing that. She was, you know, doing everything else. And I was like, okay, God, like, hey, I can't force it. Like, you know. But I told her, I'm like, Kitty, I know you're super powerful, especially in your prophetic words. Like, please, please open your heart up to the tongues. Whatever barrier it is, whether it's like, you know, self-esteem issues, whether it's like you're afraid what people would say, your parents, you know, just give it to God and let him do it, you know. And so the whole year, nothing happened. And at the end of the year, we go on a missions trip to show people that God gave us the gifts and we're operating it. So we went to the Philippines. And it was so funny. I forget exactly what happened, but these, you know, I led a team and the girls were staying in one room. So it was Kitty and two other girls. And they start texting me late at night. And I'm like, this is what I get for, you know, taking a bunch of girls on a mission trip. And they're like, something's happening, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, are you guys okay? It's like, there's danger. Like, you call the security, right? And they're like, come to our room or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I'll go to a room. Yeah, I didn't think anything bad was happening. Because right when that happened, I started praying already. And I was like, I don't think something bad's happening. But I still went there anyways. Yeah. And then Kitty's like, I'm like bleeding and stuff. Like, something happened to where, like, she injured herself.
Oh.
Right? But it wasn't that bad. And the girls like put a band-aid on it or whatever, and she goes, oh, I was so worried I started speaking in tongues.
Like, oh, what? That caused her to do
something like that, right? If you guys are watching, Nona or whoever was there, let me know the details, but like something like that happened,
right?
And I was like, I told you it was gonna happen. And she's like, oh, I should have just let go a long time ago. And I was like, yeah, I should have.
Wimber used to call it stop your stinking thinking.
Yes.
That's what stop he used to
because it's not the intellect.
Yeah.
It's not the intellect.
Just,
it's
and that
heart.
That hype just bypassed that, right?
You're right. Yeah. That whole situation, you're in a foreign country, you have a mission to do, and then you get injured. You didn't have time to think about it. Now it came out, right?
Yeah.
So after that girl was on fire. Just like everything she's saying is coming to pass, like boom, 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 boom. And then she, you know, during the graduation, after the graduation for the school of ministry, she was like, I'm sorry I didn't listen to you for like 9 months. Like, I should have just let go the first week we had school. I'm like, it's okay. All right.
But what does it even mean, though? Like, what do you mean, let go? And you don't know it till you know it. Right?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's like,
I told her it was okay because she.
That's funny. That's awesome.
We're trying to put it into human language, a non-human activity, so it's difficult.
I've been witness to that because I've spoken in tongues for over 30 years, right?
Yeah.
But I've never seen anything spectacular. I've never experienced.
Yeah.
Like, I prayed in the spirit and I'm like, okay.
All right.
I'm having a bad day. I don't feel anything, right?
Yeah.
Until something happened where the last couple of years with the climate of free speech and all
that. Yeah, okay, good.
You have people that are just antagonistic and that were attacking, right?
Yeah.
So I had someone hounding my friend and we were at the Board of Supervisors. And he was hounding my friend.
Yeah.
So I went away, got authorities.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom. Wanna come?
Yeah.
And then this person followed us. And
followed
I was just
you
like,
too.
Yeah, followed both of us.
Yeah.
I was just like, I was like, man, I don't know what to pray for. So I just broke out in tongues.
Yeah.
And that, and then like a wall. It was like, thunk. That person shut up.
Yeah.
That person stopped dead in the tracks.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then the person who doesn't believe in tongues was like, wow, like, what was that?
Right.
I'm like,
you told me this.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And I was like, this never happened before, and I'm praying for tongues for a long time. So I was like, okay, God. And that opened another chapter, right? So there's something, Like, that's why it's like I welcome pressure. Well, I don't invite it, but I welcome it, because it was like the times that I prayed weren't as critical.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But I was like, I don't know what to pray for. And I just prayed out and told it out loud, and my friend heard me.
Yeah.
Right? And he was like, what was that that you prayed for? It was just awesome. I totally felt the peace of God. And he was like,
And that guy that was being aggressive just stopped.
Dead in his tracks. And and he's a mouthy individual.
Yeah.
Was just loud amongst the 50 people. Yeah. Just making a big scene, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't stop talking for like 15 minutes. And when I came back, it was like thunk. And I was like,
wow.
I was like, wow, Lord.
There you go. That's a miracle gift, using your prayer language, right?
It's a sign. Yeah,
no wonder.
It is, because it's like, I didn't know what to pray.
Yeah.
There's no flowery thing to look like a spiritual person. Uh-huh. And I just thought of that tongue speaks for prayers that moans and groans that I don't know what to pray for.
Yeah.
So I just busted it out.
See, what if you were like, I can't do this right now because I don't have an interpreter? Then your friend would miss the miracle.
Yeah.
And that dude would have followed you guys to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So
he was hostile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And that's what someone who had been praying in the Spirit. I'm someone who prayed in the Spirit for like 20, 30 years, and I just never really.
Until then.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was my first experience. Why? I don't know.
Has it shifted your experience now when you're alone?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. One of the things now is like when I see bogus bills come up, like political climate things, there's peace. It's like, I don't know what to pray for. And I just break out in the Spirit, and I'm like doing chores or whatever, and I keep it in the forefront of my mind, and I just ask God, like, okay, you tell me how to pray for this until you make the shift in me. Right.
And that's in your own private time between you and the
Lord. Like I'm at home cleaning, or cooking, whatever, or when it prompts me, when I'm in the car, when it comes to mind, then I don't know what to pray.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's going on, Lord. Like, everything about our government and what they've done, I don't know what's going on. That's okay. I pray in the Spirit. The Spirit does. I have a lot more peace and that understanding now that I didn't have before. And what it does, too, is for me, it doesn't distract me from God. Because when you hear about all these things, you can, it's one thing to, there's a fine line between being, understanding what's going on in our climate, and that it kind of taking you over in,
black pill.
Yeah.
Black pill.
Yeah, just feeling really dark,
right.
And then, Eeyore. About
Eeyore,
everything.
Yes.
You're like, it's like, yes, in spite of this, thank you, Jesus, and then you claim power over it, right? And so it's just catching that shift. And so it helped me retain my focus and joy of who God is, not the circumstances.
My personality, I'll probably curse at these globalists sometimes.
You actually can.
Yes,
you can.
Well, yeah, I mean, like,
yes, you can.
Even, but it says in the Bible, Jesus cursed them. He said, you filthy vipers? What is it?
You're a pit of vipers, you're a whitewashed tomb.
Right, when he flipped the
table. You made my father's house from a house of prayer to a house of thieves, and you flipped the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yes.
Mm. Yeah, but there's always peace associated. Now, I used to think that, I need to be angst and angry to have power. Like, no, it's like, you know what? I said it. We prayed for it. You did it.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it yet.
Yes.
But it's going to get done.
Correct. Correct.
Do you start angry? Like you read something and,
Oh, I mean, I get triggered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I get triggered. Then I'm like, okay, it's not going to stay in my door.
Because that's me, and then I stay there.
Oh, see,
okay.
I go over to my dad's office. I go to my. You believe these guys?
don't give me. Yeah, and so this is where it's when I started realizing, I was like, it's taking my focus away from God. Because then I thought, well, I'm not being a responsible individual if I don't get educated about this. But then I get more irritated.
Yeah.
More like
that's
you know.
Me.
So
that's me.
So what I learned was okay, you got this, and then I just remember. You can take care of all this. This is about us undoing our own conditioning that the devil has has Amen. Done over. So that's when I realized it's not about the fight. It's about the shell, or mm-hmm. the limitation that the devil's done. So okay, I'm like, all right, how can I? What's the limitation that I like? He wants me to break out of now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my focus has shifted, right? So
yes.
I don't take on what I can't take on. I mm-hmm. take on what I can control. I can't control that, but I can control it through prayer.
Mm. Yes.
In intercession, like
this is very
in
good.
The spirit, right?
Yeah,
because I don't know
good.
What to pray for, so
right.
I pray for it in the spirit.
I'm gonna work on this.
Yeah, when I feel angry, I pray in the spirit because it changes from like pure anger, like I hate these people, you know, like
how can you be so stupid?
I'm like marvelous, baby, and then I get mad at the regular people because they're voting these people
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
And I go, Lord, all right. So he changed it. The intensity doesn't change. But he changes it from anger to like righteous indignation,
yeah.
to where like I don't know what I'm praying for. I don't understand in my mind,
yeah.
but I feel in my heart I'm praying the solution because the Holy Spirit's giving the solution. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like this hopeless lashing out in anger type of thing. It's like
the
when
forward moving.
Yeah, but it's still very, very
direct.
Militaristic.
Indirect.
Like when Goliath was like, face David, and Goliath was like, oh, you come at me? He sees this kid. He's like, you come
sticks
at me like
stones.
A dog? Yeah, you want like sticks and stones? Like, you know, what am I, a dog? I'm going to cut off your head, feed your body to the birds of the air
yeah.
and the beasts of the field. And then David's like, no.
No. I'm going to
yeah.
do that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I come at you with the name of the Lord, and I will cut your head off. And feed your body to the beasts
Amen.
Of the field and the birds of the air. That's how it changes in me. Like
the shift.
It's not this frenzy thing where like,
right.
oh, I hate these people. To where like, all right, this is how we're gonna win. This is how we're gonna defeat these guys.
I wonder what the crowd was like when he said that.
Oh, it went crazy.
Ooh.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it went nuts.
So, I mean,
yeah.
Saul was going after everyone, asking and saying he would pay them
yeah.
to defeat the
and
lion.
His mm-hmm. daughter's hand in marriage.
Oh, did he offer?
Yes.
Oh.
David's like, oh, I'm in.
Bonus.
Yeah.
Insta kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he got prophesied.
David's based.
He got, Samuel prophesied he will be king one day.
Yeah.
And so true. He goes, maybe this is God.
Yeah, that's my window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An impossible thing.
Yeah.
Because all
yeah.
the best warriors were afraid of him.
Wow.
Afraid of Goliath.
Yeah.
So that had to be God. He took a risk.
And
yeah.
he was the least among them. He was the shortest.
Yes.
He
yeah.
was, the father didn't even bring him
nope.
out when Samuel
nope.
asked to speak to
nope.
all of his sons.
Nope. He heard from
right.
God. He heard from God. God probably told him, hey, you're going to be king. Go kill this giant.
Yeah.
Who, me? Yeah, you.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is why it's important. We need communication with God, and tongues is one of the best ways to communicate with God. Why is praying in the spirit important to Christians? We read 1 Corinthians 14:4 already. One who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. So he needs both. It doesn't mean you cut one out of the equation, as my contemporaries tell me to do, but it doesn't say that. Jude 20. Can somebody get that? Jude 20. It says, number one, it helps you grow spiritually. It does. So Jude actually reiterates what Paul was teaching to the Corinthians.
You got it,
No.
It's a small book in the back.
It's in the back?
It.
Yeah.
I got it. Here, I'll read it.
I'm always embarrassed when I don't know which way to flip the page.
Oh,
yeah, that's
sorry.
Okay. You're so cute.
Might as well read 21, too. 20 and 21.
Okay. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life.
All right. So there's a lot going on there talking about eternal life, but when I see that, especially when we already read praying in the Spirit at all times, and then Jude says building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God. So the tongues keeps you in the love of God, meaning it doesn't mean you lose your salvation if you don't pray in tongues. It doesn't mean that. It means you're the way you sense the love of God, the way you feel like you're in the love of God, the tongues helps that realization. Like sometimes when I feel kind of depressed, like I feel like a failure sometimes, I pray in tongues. And then I'm like, oh, I'm in the love of God. So
you know,
Jude's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jude is right. And then this one, I know, Nettie, you touched on number two. It helps you communicate with God more effectively because the words come from him. So whoever has Romans 8, 26 through 27, you get that?
That's you, Jonathan.
Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will.
All right. So, if you don't know God's will, just pray in tongues, you know? If you got something that you can't verbalize in your own language, it's so frustrating or so, you know, it's a lot of pressure, this is a gift to use, you know what I mean? Just like what Nettie did in that pressure situation. And then God did a miracle because you opened up. God's like, you know, I'm going to stop this guy.
And that guy was supposedly a Christian, too, that
supposedly.
God stopped.
Yeah.
So I consistently, at least once a day,
uh-huh.
I'll have like a thought, and it'll make me audit, like actually groan.
There you go.
That's this.
Yeah, you can just use that. Just let it flow.
Yeah, it's like pain. Like you know, like.
But take it a step further.
Uh-huh.
Turn off your mind, and just
and pray.
And let your spirit of tongues flow.
Yeah. This has been going on for years, and I thought like, do I have mental illness? Or
something.
No.
And I usually only tell people that are like really close to me.
Yeah.
But if it's a spiritual thing,
yes,
that makes all the sense in the world to me.
Exactly.
And sometimes God does that too, so it helps us recognize, right? Because we get so desensitized to things that if there's a reaction to like, okay, I know I only react, that tells me there's something wrong.
Yeah, right.
It's a physical manifestation of what God has embedded in us in the spirit.
Yes.
Being conscious, having a conscience, mm-hmm. right? Whether you know God or not,
mm-hmm.
In his image creation.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's, I remember, Jonathan, you said that, we just, you know, a lot of churches will go, we don't know what to pray, so we just leave it to the will of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a way to do that, right here. But they don't do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so.
That's a good starting
place. Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's like,
right?
It's like, oh, there's nothing more empowering than being part of, active part of it than passive.
Yes.
That's the thing. It's like we can be active and not be a victim.
Yeah. Exactly. In fact,
whatever God wills.
Whatever God wills,
whatever the wind blows.
Yeah, I've always hated that. That's the answer.
It's just the way they said it, though. I think it's the attitude. It's not the word.
Yeah.
Whatever God wills. Like, you know what? Whatever God's will is, there's a firmness and understanding and definitiveness.
Yeah.
But when they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Like a tornado.
Yeah.
Coming around.
I feel like I really should go close the door downstairs.
Oh.
I don't think I'm supposed to leave it open.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh,
well. But that's the thing. It's because, you know, we have these preconceived notions of what, because we don't want to make mistakes.
Yeah,
right?
That's not how we talk to you. It was never facilitated that way.
Yeah, exactly. But again, God's a father. He makes room for mistakes. Like I would have never done this if I've never made mistakes, right? Like I always tell people, the gifts, including tongues, is just like learning how to play piano.
Riding a
bike. It's like, you'll get it. It'll flow. It'll go. But you're going to have those little bumps along the road, like, you know? Let's move on, then we'll play the video. It says, we've read 1 Corinthians 14, but it says, it helps you stay focused on talking to God. And then we mentioned this, too. it helps activate the other gifts of the Spirit. So whenever somebody asks me, like, hey, God's not talking to me, I go, well, why don't you talk to him? And then, like, well, I tried. And I'm like, do you pray in the Spirit? Oh, no. So a lot of times when you feel like God's not talking to you and you're praying normally and, like, you don't hear anything, sometimes that what would cause you to hear more is praying in the Spirit. Maybe you'll hear a different way, you know? And this is us exploring who God is, and it's very good. And then number four is it helps activate the other gifts of the Spirit. So we talked about that if you're edified, it's actually easier to do the other things. Casting out devils, healing the sick,
yeah.
You know, raising the dead, which is really, that still happens, raising the dead still happens. David Hogan continually sees raising of the dead. He has a ministry in Mexico.
Have you met him?
I have not met him. I'm praying that one day I will meet him, and I'll ask him to lay hands on me and impart to me, even though I experienced that before.
He's one bad dude.
He is. He's awesome. David Hogan.
Oh,
I heard about, there's another guy that I know of, like, I forget his name. He's a white guy, but he was in Africa. And
Reinhard Bonnke.
Oh, okay. No, I've heard of him. But
he's had several resurrections. Yep.
Like, the child had been dead for
yes.
2 days.
Yes.
But it, like, a little girl, like, 7 or 8 years
yes.
old, this other guy was thinking, I can't think of their name, but
yeah.
Like, it not a flowery prayer. It's like, Father,
yes.
bring her back to life.
Yeah.
And then he just
boom.
Moved on praying. Because
yeah.
there were thousands
there's,
of people.
Yes.
Thousands. Is
I
it Reinhardt?
I think that was Reinhardt Bonnke.
Okay,
yeah.
I couldn't remember the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thousands of people.
Yes.
And that child came back. Like,
yes.
Came back the next morning.
Imagine.
The child was. Came back to life. She was like cold dead.
Imagine if you were the parents, right?
Yeah.
You'd be the greatest evangelist because now you have a story. You have a testimony.
It's undeniable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your child was dead for 2 days.
Yeah.
Cold dead.
Cold
and then
dead.
Someone prayed for them, and then the next day they're alive. The
yeah.
child is alive. Yeah. So to get to that level, you guys, where we're ministering and it's impactful things like impossibilities. The church has to be built up.
Mm-hmm.
So if, like, everyone's praying in tongues, the church is being built up, as well as prophesying to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have both. So that's why it's important. So,
that's awesome.
Again, keeps you staying focused on God and helps you activate the other gifts. So, you know, if you want to raise the dead, I suggest starting with praying in tongues. But I want to play this, and then we'll do our activation here. So if we can play John Bevere.
Hey, John, do all speak with tongues? Do you remember that question in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Well, do all speak in tongues? What's the answer? No, they do not all speak in tongues, okay? So there, not everybody needs to speak in tongues. Well, you got to read this whole thing in context. And the way you read it in context is to realize that the New Testament speaks of four different tongues. Everybody say four.
Four.
Two of those tongues are for public ministry. What do I mean by public ministry? They are ministry to where you are ministering to one or a group of people. Two of them are for private. Everybody say private.
Right.
All right, let me talk about each of the four. First of all, tongues which are a sign. All right? Listen to 1 Corinthians 14:22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. What does it mean, tongues are a sign to unbelievers? Let me give you an example that illustrates it. One time I was preaching here in Colorado Springs. One of my staff members was in the back of the church. While I was preaching, she thought she was praying in tongues. The whole time I was preaching, she just felt this urge to pray in tongues. When the service was over, a gentleman stood up who was a couple rows ahead of her, and he turned around and said to her, "Your French is perfect. Not only do you speak French perfectly, but with a perfect accent of the ancient dialect of French."
Wow.
And he said, "I'm a French teacher, and I've never encountered somebody speaking so well as you." She said, "I don't speak French." He said, "You're kidding me." She said, "No, I don't speak French. I can say parlez-vous français, but that's it." He said, "You are speaking perfectly." It was a sign to him.
Oh.
Yes.
Then he looked at her, and he said, "Not only that, you were quoting in French scriptures," and he would then say, "Turn to your Bibles to that scripture." You quoted it
yes.
before he
what?
Said it.
prophecy.
It was a sign to him. Are you following?
Same time.
This
awesome.
Is the kind of tongues that manifested on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
These guys were untrained, unlearned, but they're speaking perfectly in the languages and dialects of those Jews that came from all over the world. It was a sign to them. My goodness, these uneducated men who have never learned my language are speaking my language perfectly, the wonderful works of God. It was a sign, and they got saved. That is tongues for a sign. Got it? All right. The next one is tongues given for interpretation.
He's like,
I know. The second one is public as well. These tongues are heavenly languages in which there are no dialects like them on the earth. You say heavenly languages? There's more than one language in heaven? Yes, there is.
Yes.
Do you know that Jesus has a name that nobody knows other than himself?
Yes.
Do you know that he's going to give you a stone and something's going to be written on that only you and he are going to know?
Oh,
there are heavenly languages. Are you with me? And so don't be surprised by that, okay? I don't know how all that works, but I will know that that's what the Bible says, all right? But it's when a person begins to speak a language of heaven. It is not a language of the earth that we don't know and haven't been trained in, but other people know. This is a completely different language that nobody on the face of the earth knows. And to be honest with you, that's the rest of the three tongues. I remember when I was in Singapore, I'm telling you, I will never forget this as long as I live. I'm getting ready to preach to a large church over there. There's a balcony. All of a sudden, this man begins to speak in a foreign tongue. It is not any language of the earth. It was a heavenly language. It was so amazing. I'm sitting there and the hairs on my arm are standing up. And then that man began to interpret the tongue. See, you have to understand, this tongue is not translated. It's interpreted.
Yes.
Because it's a heavenly language. Okay? He began to interpret it, and his interpretation was the message I was going to preach that night. I'm like, oh my goodness. Literally, here in the arm standing up. That is tongues for interpretation. That is actually one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit that 1 Corinthians talks about. Now, these are the tongues.
I know, I love that.
In the category that Paul was asking the question, do all speak in tongues? Okay? So let me read it all in context. Has God appointed these in the church? First apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healings? No. Do all speak in tongues? What tongues is he talking about? Public tongues of a heavenly language that nobody understands. The answer is no. Do all interpret? The answer is no. Paul is speaking about the ministry giftings that God has set in the church for public ministry.
For public,
certainly not all are apostles or prophets or teachers or pastors or have the gifts of miracles and healings. And all do not have the ministry gift of speaking in tongues or interpretation of the heavenly languages. Why is that? Why is that? The answer is found in the following verse. 1 Corinthians 14, 22, 23. Listen carefully. Paul said, therefore, tongues. Now, the tongues he's talking about right now are tongues for a sign. The first one I told you about. Therefore, tongues are for a sign. Not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But then he goes on to say, listen to this. If the whole church comes together in one place and all speak in tongues. Now, he's talking about tongues for interpretation, the heavenly tongues. And there come in those who are uninformed and unbelievers. Will they not say you're all mad and out of your mind? So he says, tongues are for a sign. Then he says, if you speak in tongues, they're all going to think you're mad and out of your mind. Now, if you didn't understand there's four different types of tongues in the New Testament, you're going to go, he just contradicted himself.
Right.
Tongues are for a sign to an unbeliever. And then he says, unbelievers are going to say you're all mad? He contradicts it. He doesn't contradict himself. The first one he says is tongues for what? A sign. That's when you're speaking another language of this earth that you've never been trained in.
Right.
That French teacher, it was a sign.
Yes.
But if we all would have been speaking in tongues, the heavenly language, when that French teacher walked in, he would have said, you're all out of your mind. You're crazy. Right? That's the two different public tongues. All right? Now let's go to the third one. Are you getting something out of this?
Nice.
Yep.
Tongues for personal prayer.
There you go.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Did you hear that? What's my understanding? That's my head, right? Yeah. What is the conclusion then? Listen to what Paul says. I will pray. Listen to the word pray. Not speak out in a congregation. I will pray with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. I will also pray with the understanding. understanding. That's English. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with understanding. That's English. So what Paul is doing here is he's identifying tongues as a prayer language. Are you with me?
Yes.
Because he talks about this in 1 Corinthians 14 when he says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. The other two public tongues, we're talking to men.
Correct.
When that guy spoke in that tongue in Singapore, even though it was a heavenly language, he was speaking God's message to us as a congregation and interpreting that message, he was speaking to us.
Yes.
When the apostles on the day of Pentecost spoke in tongues for a sign, they were speaking to those people the wonderful works of God. Paul said when you speak in tongues, when you pray in tongues, speak in tongues, he's talking about either one here, when you pray in tongues, you don't speak to men, you're speaking to God. That's tongues for a prayer language. Are you getting this? When we speak with one of the two public tongues, we are speaking to unbelievers, tongues for a sign, or to the church, tongues for interpretation. But when we pray in tongues, we speak to God, not men. Now listen to what Jude says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's why every believer should pray in tongues. Now, let me make a statement. People say, well, John, is the evidence that I have been filled with the Holy Spirit is the fact that I can speak in tongues? Let me say this. A person can be filled with the Spirit and not speak in tongues. Why? They're not yielding to the river. Just like
I
can
like
wade
that.
Into a river.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And I cannot float on that river downstream because why? I'm not yielded to it. I will say this, every person that has been filled with the Spirit has the ability to
yes.
pray in tongues.
Correct.
Yes.
It's just that maybe they haven't stepped out in it yet. Because everything comes by faith. Are you with me?
Yes.
So make this clear, make this known. You can be filled with the Spirit and not speak with tongues. Why? Because you simply haven't yielded to it yet. I'll talk more about that in the next session. All right, tongues for intercession. This is the fourth one is the private as well. Likewise, the Spirit also, this is Romans 8, 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. What is our weakness? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Now he's talking about tongues for intercession. I'll never forget the time I was in a fraternity in college and I had a Bible study going on for all the fraternity and sorority people. The night before I preached on the Holy Spirit, there was a girl in our Bible study. We had about 60 kids coming, you know, fraternity and sorority people coming to the Bible study. And this girl had been raised in a denomination that taught her that tongues had passed away when the Bible came. So she came in and she started listening to me teach the Bible. And she went, oh my goodness, there it is right there.
Yeah.
So she got filled with the Holy Spirit that night.
Uh-huh.
Well, the next morning, her sorority house was right across the street from ours. They wake me up on the intercom at like 6:30. I'm a college student. I'm sleeping until 8, okay? So I come, you know, put some clothes on. I'm rubbing my eyes. I walk out, and there she is. She's so excited. She's beaming. And I said, what's going on? She said, oh, my gosh. She said, God woke me up at 5 o'clock, and I just felt this urge, pray in tongues. So she said, I just start praying. And I felt like I was interceding. I asked God to show me, what am I doing? And the Lord said, you're praying and interceding for an older man's life. His life is at stake. So she said, I just kept praying in tongues. She said, 6 o'clock, my roommate got an emergency call. Her grandfather had an emergency heart attack. They rushed into the hospital. They were able to save him. His life has been spared. She said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you were praying for him.
Oh.
That's tongues for intercession.
Yeah.
Are you with me? You see, let me tell you something. I don't know what's going on with my mom right now. She's in Florida. I don't know what's going on with my sister in California. I don't know what's going on with my sister in Michigan. I don't know what's going on with my friend in North Carolina. But you know what the Holy Spirit does? And so I can make intercession by yielding myself to him. Are you with me? All right. So, how many are missing out today because they believe man's ignorance, teaching why tongues have passed away? Yet hear God's heart cry. 1 Corinthians 14:5. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Somebody say that's Paul writing it. No. No scripture is any private interpretation.
Yep.
And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is God crying out, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Paul makes a statement in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. And this is actually the Spirit of God saying it. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant when it comes to spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues and the other gifts. But then at the end of 1 Corinthians 14, he makes a statement that's amazing. But if anyone is ignorant, let him remain ignorant. In other words, if you don't want to understand this, then stay ignorant. You're going to miss out on a really wonderful ability to communicate with me. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, 38 through 40, do not forbid speaking in tongues.
All right.
Who is that guy?
That's John Bevere. He goes on in those same circles we've been talking about. His wife, Lisa, that's Natalie's like favorite person, minister, his wife, Lisa. She's like a super, super like firecracker person.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Is that one of his main focuses, or just what he's speaking on this particular topic?
I mean, he goes into everything.
Okay,
praying
cool.
for the sick and stuff.
So he has his own channel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just John Bevere.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
You were at the Bait of Satan.
Bait of Satan, yeah.
Oh.
Have you heard that?
No.
Oh.
You were just so well read. Like.
Hi, Dad. Oh, hey,
no,
what's up,
like,
Paul?
I thought maybe that would have, like,
so,
triggered your...
We don't film the activation. We just, keep people's dignity,
Yeah.
But I just want to read the How Do You Receive the Gift of Tongues for anyone watching. It says there, number one, believe that you received the Holy Spirit when you believed in Jesus, right? So we're not of the ilk of you're not saved unless you speak in tongues. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. But you still, number two, you still have to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? Because we talked about that.
Why is it worded, number one, sorry.
Oh.
Why is it worded, believe that you have received the person of the Holy Spirit when you believed in Jesus?
Oh, that just means like the personhood of God, that, you
okay.
know, of the Holy Spirit.
It's okay. tangible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because some people think he's just a force, which is not true. The Holy Spirit is a person.
Oh.
The three persons of God. Is
the
an actual
yeah.
yeah. That's why you can grieve the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You can't grieve a force, right? So, to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like what we read in Acts, the believers that were already believers, they got baptized in water, but they haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. So pray for that. And then number three, believe that God wants you to receive the gift of tongues and desire it with all your heart. And then four, believe that the Holy Spirit will provide the words. And then here's the key. Number five, open your mouth and begin to speak. But don't speak in your own language. You're making sounds. All right?
Open your mouth.
The misconception is God's going to move your mouth and make air come out of your vocal cords. Your faith starts with you moving. And then once you start moving, you will notice God will fill in the rest.
Amen.
Just like in when we're training for prophecy, even if you don't have anything, just say something. Like, for example, I don't want to stay on this, but for example, if I don't get anything and God wants me to prophesy, I just say, Jesus loves you, and then it just comes out. Like, other stuff comes out.
Hmm.
Jesus loves you, and this is why he died for your sins on the cross. He got resurrected. You know, by the way, you know, this season in your life, you're going to have like three stumbling stones, but God's going to pick you up. You know, that has happened to me before where I had zero, nothing, and I just start speaking truth. Jesus loves you. And then it keeps rolling. So the same with tongues. It's like here it says some points. Think like a baby who's talking for the first time. So babies just make sounds. They don't necessarily mean anything. They just start making sounds because they want to speak. And then it says, you're just making sounds. You don't have any memory of the new words of a new language. So you're starting out. And then don't worry about how you sound. That's the worst thing, because if you worry about how you sound, then you're going to put a stop to like what's coming out of your mouth. And then you may or may not feel anything. A lot of times spiritual gifts, people are looking for the feeling, you know, like some people feel like their hands have electricity, and then when they lay hands on people, they get healed. That happens, yes. Sometimes you feel nothing, and you lay hands in faith, and they get healed. Right, that's you.
That's
right.
Me.
Yes.
Like, I'm like the no feelings person, which
yeah.
is ironic given my personality.
Yeah, right? So,
like,
so for you guys at home or watching, those are the five things you can do. Even if you're by yourself, you can do it. So we're going to do our activation the same way, the same principles here. And then you guys do it too. If something happens, please go on our Telegram or wherever you're watching and type a comment and say, hey, this is what happened after I looked at the study, looked at scripture, and I tried the activation myself. If something happened, please put it down because we want to know.
Yeah.
Testimonies are important. They encourage every single person. So, hey, Nettie, can you put stop streaming over there? So, you guys, we're going to go. We'll see you next.
Sorry,
it's okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, just.